When the Lord Jesus walked among men, he saw spiritual truth in nature that others did not see, could not see. His sermons were lined with references to animals, to birds, to flowers, to the elements of creation. You read through his sermons and you'll find repeatedly that he makes reference to the created world many, many times. He was the creator of what he saw. Did you notice there in that opening verse, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside? And I have thought in my own mind, what did the Lord see when he sat by the seaside? He saw what he had made. He made it all. He made the Sea of Galilee. He made the land round about, the mountains on either side. He made the sky above, the trees, the plants, the animals, the fish, the birds. He made it all. And here he is sitting on this occasion, looking out over what he had made. And when he saw his handiwork, he referred to those objects unveiling the reason why he had created them. Creation is the natural revelation of God. It is the revelation of God in nature. God made all things in this created universe in order to illustrate spiritual truth, spiritual lessons, to help us, the sons and daughters of Adam, to help us to understand spiritual truth. But man's understanding has been darkened on account of the fall. And therefore, there is something else needed beyond and above that natural revelation. Man needs a supernatural revelation. The inspired scriptures, the Word of God. And when we open the Word of God, we find that the Word of God explains that natural revelation. It draws the illustrations out of creation and it gives the explanation. The Word of God unlocks and explains what we cannot see in the creation before us. On this occasion, the Lord directs his hearers, his audience, to the agricultural process. The sowing of the seed, the germination of that seed within the soil, and the producing of a harvest at the end. He was the one who created that process at the very beginning in the creation week. He established, this is the way that things would go. This is the way that things would grow. This is the method that would be employed. Have you ever stopped to wonder why the Lord ordained this process? He ordained this process because he was going to illustrate to us spiritual truth. Do you remember in that occasion he said that except a corn of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth alone. And he used that process in order to illustrate his own death, emphasizing the fact that he must die and be buried. And if he does not die and be buried, then there will be no one else saved. That process that we see every year is illustrating his death and his resurrection. Well, now on this occasion, the Lord uses the same process in order to highlight the great need of the heart of man to receive the Word of God, in order to bring forth spiritual fruit unto God. The emphasis in this parable is upon God's Word. That's absolutely clear. We are told there in verse number 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. This seed is likened to God's word. Men and women need to hear the Word of God. That's the simple teaching of this parable. It is this Word that makes us wise unto salvation. It is this Word that shows us how we can be saved. It is this Word that sets before us how we can live a life that is pleasing and acceptable to God. It is this Word that teaches us how we can know God for all eternity. Men and women need to hear the Word of God. There will never be salvation without this Word. That's the emphasis here. And therefore, if this is man's necessity, it's also emphasizing what a great privilege it is when men and women hear God's Word. What a privilege it is to hear the Word of the Kingdom, to hear this message of salvation that sets before us how we can know God, how we can be brought in to eternal life, how we can be brought to know the forgiveness of our sins. What a great privilege and blessing it is. And yet, the great concern of this parable is that we hear the Word of God with understanding and with faith. When you look at this parable and the four types of ground that are mentioned, the seed was received by each of the types of ground. But there's only one type of ground that brings forth fruit onto perfection. And surely tonight the Lord is illustrating and the Lord is emphasizing that while many hear God's word, only few hear it well. Four types of ground, yet only one is productive. Only one is good. It is the necessity to hear the word of God. It is a great privilege when we hear the word of God. But the great concern of this parable is to hear the word of God with understanding. To hear the word of God in such a way that it brings profit and blessing to the heart. Because many hear God's word, but only few hear well. Only one plot of ground out of the four brings forth fruit unto perfection. Added to this, in the parable we're also informed that there is an outside influence at work. An outside influence that seeks to hinder, that seeks to obstruct, that seeks to prevent men and women, young people, children, from hearing the word of God with blessing and with profit. And to illustrate this fact, the Lord pointed his audience to the country field. I can see him there as he sits at the seashore. And behind are those fields stretching up into the mountains. Perhaps there was a sower at that very time, out in the field, spreading a seed, casting a seed. And I can see the Lord pointing his audience to the field in the distance, to the sower. And he says to his audience, I want you to see not only the necessity to hear the word of God, and not only the great privilege that it is, but the great concern to hear well, because there are outside influences at work to hinder, to obstruct, and to prevent the word of God from taking root in your heart. And just at that moment, as the Lord is pointing his audience to the sower in the field, he casts his seed on the wayside, and immediately the fowls of the air come swooping down and they snatch the seed away. And the Lord says to his congregation, there is an outside influence just like those birds, and it is the devil himself. That seed fell on the wayside, the beaten, well-trodden path. And because the ground was hardened, The seed lies on the surface and the fowls come and snatch it away. The Lord is saying, that's exactly the work of Satan. The Lord saw something in that common scene which men and women fail to see. Have you ever been driving along the road and the farmer is out plowing his field and then sowing the seed, and what do you see behind the tractor but a whole line of birds? They're right down there to get the seed before it's buried over. The Lord saw the devil in the birds. He saw the work of Satan, the great enemy of souls. In fact, later on in this chapter, the Lord tells another parable, and again it includes Satan, and the Lord describes him as the enemy. Verse number 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. There is an enemy to the sons and daughters of men. There is an enemy against the souls of men whose influence, whose effort, whose work is to snatch away the seed of God's precious word. The Lord here is emphasizing not only the personality of Satan being a real being, a spirit created at the beginning of creation, holy and pure, but who rebelled against God, who opposed God. The Lord is not only emphasizing here the personality of Satan, but he's emphasizing the priority of Satan. Look at verse 19 again. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. You can see here what the priority of the devil is. It is to catch away God's word, to snatch it away from the hearts of men, to stop the word of God reaching down into the heart, to bring that sinner onto salvation. This is the priority of the devil. And in different parts of the world, he uses different methods and different tactics. There are some countries in this world where the devil has banned the Bible completely. It is a crime punishable by imprisonment, by beatings, even by death, to have but a portion of the Bible. We do not know just how privileged we are tonight in this country, and we do not know how long we will have this liberty. Because there is an outside influence at work, always at work, seeking to snatch away the word of God. There is one thing certain, men and women in this country. The devil is at work, endeavoring to bring about a situation, if he could, where the Bible would be banned in this country. Make no mistake about it. It is true in other parts of the world. This is the devil's priority. He is the great enemy of the souls of men. He knows that this book will bring eternal blessing to sinners. And therefore, his effort, his priority is to keep this word from getting into the hearts of men. And so, he endeavors to snatch it away. If he can ban the Bible, he will. But where men are exposed to God's word, his work, his priority is to catch it away, to empty the heart. With some people, he accomplishes this by outright opposition, by denial, by rejection. But with others, he endeavors to snatch the word out of the heart of men by crowding it out, filling the heart with other things, with entertainment, with things that are of no significance in the light of eternity. He will have men and women fill their minds and fill their hearts with things that are meaningless, all in the effort to crowd out the word of God from getting into the heart. You can see it in this town tonight. How few people there are who meet to hear the word of God. It's not the priority in the case of so many. They're away on their days out. They're away pleasure seeking. They're having their entertainment. Everything and anything but hear the word of God. That's the work of the devil. That is the priority of Satan. Do you see it? He comes, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away. He snatches it away, just like the birds snatching the seed. He doesn't want the word of God to get into our hearts. I wonder tonight, has Satan succeeded in his priority in relation to your heart? Has Satan succeeded in snatching away God's word? This is his priority. But the Lord not only identifies his priority, he identifies the purpose of Satan. What is his reason for snatching away the word of God? Will you turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8? This parable is mentioned in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And if you had time, I would encourage you to read the three passages side by side, because there are little differences in detail that build the whole picture, and it's very interesting. In Matthew's Gospel, just by way of illustration, the enemy is called the wicked one. The wicked one. In Luke's Gospel, he is described as the devil. Verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil. In Mark's Gospel, he is referred to as Satan. So you have three different titles, three different descriptions concerning this great enemy. Well, here in Luke's chapter 8 and verse 12, there's another detail given to us. And we're told here in verse number 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You see, in Matthew's account, we are advised concerning his priority. He comes to snatch away. In Luke's account, we are informed as to his purpose, his reason, why he is so intent in snatching away the word of God. Lest they should believe and be saved. The Bible tells men how to be saved. How to be saved from their fallen estate, their condemned estate. It tells men how they can go to glory and dwell forever with God in the blessing of that unending paradise. The Bible tells men the remedy that God has provided in Christ. It points to a cross where the ransom was paid and salvation was purchased. The Bible is God's message of salvation, and the devil knows it. The devil knows it. The Bible tells men not only the message of salvation, but how they can be saved. Believe. Believe on this Savior. Trust him. Come to his cross with your burden of sin and confess your sin and trust him and you'll be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the word of God. But the devil wants to snatch it away because he knows that if men and women hear this book and if they believe this message, they will be saved and they'll be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. This is his reason. This is why he tries to ban the Bible in countries. And if he's not successful in that matter, it's the reason why he seeks to crowd out the minds of people, fill their minds with everything else, distract them, put one obstacle after another. Because he knows if they hear this book, they will learn of salvation. And if they believe this book, they shall be saved. They'll be saved. You see, the devil will never be saved. And Satan rebelled against God. He was cast out, reserved in chains, the Bible says, unto everlasting perdition. The devil, the fallen angel, the devil can never be saved. He can never be saved. But fallen men and women can. Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of fallen sinners. But the devil is the great enemy of the souls of men. And he wants to snatch away the Word of God, lest men and women be saved. Do you see it tonight? Do you see his priority? Is he succeeding in your heart? In his priority? Is he succeeding in his purpose? Lest you should believe and be saved. Has the devil been succeeding to this point tonight in your life, keeping you from believing what this book says, keeping you from salvation? But turn to Mark's gospel, and I want you to see another little detail that's not recorded in the other gospels. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 15. In Matthew's account, we see his priority to snatch away. In Luke's account, we see his purpose, lest they believe and be saved. But when you come to Mark's account, chapter 4 and verse 15, we discover his promptness. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately. Immediately. And taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Just like the birds. Can you see the devil in the birds? The Lord did. And he saw that sower spreading the seed, and immediately the birds came swooping down. Immediately. No delay. Prompt. And the Lord said, that's just like Satan. Satan cometh immediately. Immediately. Next time you're out in the countryside, just watch. You throw out the seed, or you throw out little pieces of bread. Go and feed the ducks, or feed the birds. There's no delay. They just come immediately. And the Lord said, that's just like the devil. And now he's sitting at the seashore, and he's saying to his audience, I want you to see this outside influence. The influence of Satan in his desire to snatch away the word of God. And he does it immediately. Immediately. Do you know what that means? That means that when this gospel meeting is over, as soon as this meeting is over, Satan will come or other fallen angels will come, evil spirits, immediately to snatch away what you've just heard. Fill your heart with other things. Have to get the supper made. Have to get the lunches ready for tomorrow. And all the things about this week, they all just come flooding into the mind. What's he doing? He's coming immediately to snatch away the word of God so that it will not influence the heart. Many a person has hardly stepped outside of the church door when the message they have just heard has been snatched away. This is the purpose. This is the work of Satan. And he does it with such promptness. He cometh immediately. Immediately. Because of God's word is not in the heart, then there will be no fruit on the salvation. Do you want a couple of examples as to this promptness in the devil's work? Turn to Joshua chapter 6. The book of Joshua. And this is the time now when the children of Israel have crossed over Jordan. Moses has gone home to be with the Lord. And Joshua is the new leader. And now they're going to start possessing the land. And Joshua gathers the people together. And he's delivering the word of God. Do you know who also was there? Oh yes, all the tribes were gathered. All the tribes were there. But the devil was there also. Verse 16 says, Joshua chapter 6, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. And that means that everything that was in the city was devoted to God. And he says in verse 18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. He's delivering the word of God. He's telling the people how they can avoid sin that will bring judgment. And there's a man there. And he hears the word of God from Joshua. And immediately the devil came and snatched it away. And when they set foot into the city, he saw the silver, the gold, the goodly garment, and he took it. Chapter 7, verse 1. Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. He had been in the congregation. He had heard the word of God, and immediately the devil came and snatched the word out of his mind, out of his heart. And he fell into the temptation, and he took of the forbidden possessions, and the judgment of God fell upon him. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And here is another illustration of how the devil comes with such promptness. When men hear the word of God, and then the devil comes and he snatches it away. And they do the very thing that the word of God has warned them against. Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them. Notice the 12 are mentioned. And the Lord says to them, verse 18, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. He's speaking to the 12, and he's telling them what's going to happen. And there's one man among the 12 who's there in the company, and he hears the Lord's word. That's warning against sin. Immediately, the devil was there, and he snatched away from the heart of Judas. And Judas was the one who did the deal to betray Christ. Even though he had heard the word, do you see it? The devil came immediately and snatched the word away, so that that word was no longer a restraining influence against temptation and sin. The Lord saw the devil in the birds, swooping down to snatch the seed. And he said to his audience, the devil has a priority to take God's word from your heart. And his purpose, his reason, is lest you believe this word and be saved. And he does it with such promptness, immediately. I don't think there's any other passage in the Word of God that presses upon us great necessity as to how we hear. The Lord said, take heed that ye hear. Let him that have ears to hear, let him hear. Make sure to hear the word of God, but take heed how you hear, lest that word should be snatched away. Pray over the word of God. Pray over the word of God. When you hear the word of God preached, bow your heart and pray over God's word and ask the Lord to help you to understand it. Ask the Lord to make his word a blessing. Pray that the devil will not snatch it away so that its influence be lost. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. The great enemy. Will he succeed tonight in his aim, his intention, his purpose in your heart? Will you not rather pray that God will make you like the good ground that receives the word and brings forth fruit unto perfection? O God, give me a heart that receives the word of God, that understands it, that believes it, that obeys it. Remember, as soon as this service is ended, as soon as this sermon is concluded, the devil will come like the fowl of the air to snatch away the word of God. Pray that God will bury his word in your heart far beyond the reach of the enemy.